is the Banner Ravens podcast. Paul Mancano and Jonah Schaefer, 2 days away from the start of the 2024 NFL draft. Jonas, you and I are here today to complete one simple mission. That would be to mock all 9 Ravens draft picks using the Pro Football Focus draft simulator. Are you prepared for this exercise? You printed out your notes.
Consensus big board from Arif Hassan. He does a great job compiling it, making our lives a little bit easier. Not that we don't trust the PFF big board, but frankly, I got a little bit tired of having Cooper Beebe available in the fourth round every single time. And he might not even make it out of the second round. So we're excited. And we are not, I don't think, Paul, resolved to making all 9 picks. You know, there's a possibility of some trades.
We'll do something with them.
Some moving around the draft board to help ourselves build the best imaginary version of the Ravens team that we can.
Sure. Yeah. Well, we will go through all 7 rounds today. And if you are just listening to this after the fact, would definitely recommend you go back and watch this on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, anywhere that you get your podcast, because we have some good video for you here as we bring up the PFF mock draft simulator. Jonas, we are doing all 7 rounds and we are drafting only for the Ravens. Are you prepared to start this thing?
Let's do it.
All right. First overall pick.
Paul, I think
an absolute shocker.
Let's pause it.
You're already pausing it 2 picks in? Drake May and Caleb Williams are off the board.
Not to make a trade, but I think we should talk about what we're looking for in the first round. Like, are there certain players at certain picks who might fall that we would be willing to trade up for? And then what would we be willing to give up to actually move up and secure that spot in the draft order?
Who would you consider worthy of a trade up in the first round here, Jonas?
I think you've got to be looking at potential positions of need. So tackle. Mm-hmm. I think the guy with the biggest variance probably is Amarius Mims, the tackle out of Georgia. He is number 22 on the consensus big board. J.C. Latham has made it to the Ravens in some mock drafts that I've seen. He's number 17. Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver out of LSU, number 19. Sure. So there are some guys at some spots who I think, if they're still there in, I guess we would say the mid-20s, that we would be willing to throw away a third round pick, or, you know, potentially a third and another pick to go up and get. You know, I did a story on the Ravens trade possibilities, not only moving up, but moving down. And it was interesting that the guys that they have moved up for in the draft to select over the years hasn't happened very often, but it's definitely been a type. It's been like physical freaks with really, really high upside. They moved up to take Michael Oher, just a very natural athlete. They moved up to take Haloti Ngata. They moved up to take Lamar Jackson. They have been aggressive about getting guys who might not have it all together production-wise, but definitely have an all-pro kind of ceiling. And I think Mims is probably the biggest outlier of this group, because he has only played, what, 8 games so far in college? But every time he actually does play,
8 games.
Started 8 games, but every time he has played, it's just been easy to imagine him being the best tackle in this class. So I know we talked yesterday about maybe the Ravens moving ahead of the Steelers at number 20 to secure the rights to an Amarius Mims. I think that's probably a little bit too rich for the blood, because it's probably meaning giving up the first and a second to move, you know, a sum of about, what, 10 spots, 11 spots if you're jumping the Steelers at number 19. So I guess we should just kind of keep our eyes on how the board falls and where certain players are when we get to the mid-teens, early 20s, mid-20s.
Sure. All right. Well, let's continue this thing, because we've paused it 2 picks in. We've got Caleb Williams off the board to the Bears. We've got Drake May off the board to the Washington Commanders. These picks are going to come in rather slowly, but still much, much faster than it will happen on draft night. So if you see somebody slipping through the cracks, Jonas, alert me and I will pause it and we will try to make a trade up at some point. I can't imagine the Ravens would be trading up as much as 10 spots, but we shall see. All right. Marvin Harrison, Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers. There goes JJ McCarthy. I know you were high on him, Jonas. There's Joe Alt. There's Roma Dunze, Dallas Turner. The Jets take Tyrese Fuaga. So far. Yeah. So tackle goes off the board. Fuaga at number 10. Quinion Mitchell to the Vikings at 11. Brock Bowers at 12 to the Broncos. Troy Fa'utanu to the Raiders at 13. J.C. Latham is off the board now to the Saints at 14. 15 goes Terrion Arnold, Alabama, Olufoshanu.
Let's stop when we get to the Bengals. Okay. We're not going to make a trade, but so we have Byron Murphy off the board and Fashanu off the board.
Olufoshanu goes 16th to the Seattle Seahawks, and Byron Murphy goes
17th. Is there someone that, if you are a Ravens fan, you do not want to see end up in Cincinnati? Brock Bowers is off the board, so that possibility of just a terrifying trio of, you know, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Brock Bowers is no longer in play, but they can get Brian Thomas, they can get Johnny Newton, they can get Leatu Latu.
Yeah.
Buff up the offensive line. I mean, is there someone that you don't want to see end up at number 18 to Cincinnati?
No, I think they're going to go offensive line, to be honest. I think they're going to take one of these tackles. And honestly, if they take another weapon, fine. But how long is T. Higgins going to be there for? And also, I would be fine with them taking another weapon because I'd say, yeah, you're not bolstering your offensive line. Great. Justin Madubuike is going to wreak havoc on your offensive line. So they it's like when they drafted Jamar Chase instead of Penei Sewell. It's like, yeah, Jamar Chase is going to be awesome for you. But also, how are you going to protect Joe Burrow? And especially coming off the injury he had in the Ravens game last November, I would be concerned if they don't go offensive line here, but they could try to add another weapon to that offense.
Yeah, and they lost DJ Reader this offseason, who was, you know, the bulwark of that interior defensive line for years.
Yeah.
And they lost Chidobe Awuzie, who has been another linchpin of that secondary. So for as bad as that defense was this past year, probably won't be as bad next year because of just the trust in that infrastructure there. But man, it was not great last year, and they lost some really important players this offseason.
All right, we're going to resume the draft now. The Bengals are making their pick at 18, and they go with Graham Barton. So they do go offensive line, according to this mock. Jared Verse, Florida State defensive lineman, goes off the board. Laiatu Latu now goes to the Steelers at 20. Tyler Guyton is off the board at 21. I'm going to pause here because Nate Wiggins is off the board to the Eagles at number 22, and we've got the Vikings on the clock at 23. Is there anybody you would consider trading up for here, Jonas?
Let's review the options. So Brian Thomas Jr. still on the board. Johnny Newton still on the board. Amarius Mims still on the board. Cooper DeJean still on the board. Chop Robinson, Kool-Aid, Jackson Powers Johnson, A.D. Mitchell, Darius Robinson, Jordan Morgan. And I think that's probably the end of it. So like we talked about yesterday, there's, I think, going to be a surplus of guys that are going to be worth, you know, that number 30 pick to the Ravens. It's just a matter of having them fall in a way that is fortunate, I would say. So I'm not getting itchy to move up, Paul. What about you?
Not really. There's a significant number of guys, like you said, but there are some teams in the mid-20s here that could take some offensive linemen and some wide receivers. I mean, the Bills could take a wide receiver. The Cardinals are on the board, are on the clock at number 27. They could take a wide receiver. Packers could take an offensive lineman at 25. Cowboys could take an offensive lineman or a wide receiver at 24. So I think they're going to start coming off very quickly. And Lions could take another offensive lineman at 29. So I think these guys are going to start to fly here in the mid-20s. Are you ready to roll the dice and just keep it going?
Yep, let's go.
All right, so now the Vikings are making their pick at 23. They took Bo Nix, quarterback. Whoa, a shocker. Chop Robinson goes off the board to the Cowboys at 24. There goes Amarius Mims at 25.
Oh, man.
I'm pausing it here. Should we have done that? I don't know what it would have taken to get up there, but what's done is done. Amarius Mims is off the board at number 25. Now we have the Buccaneers at number 26. Do we make a trade up to try to get one of the remaining offensive linemen? And who is even left at this point? So I think we're kind of screwed here, aren't we?
I think we're kind of screwed here. I mean, there's still, like, Cooper DeJean is still on the board. We didn't have to get an offensive lineman in the first round. Just to review, unless I'm missing someone. Brian Thomas still on the board. Johnny Newton, Cooper DeJean, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Jackson Paris Johnson, A.D. Mitchell, Jordan Morgan. So I think we are fine. If Cooper DeJean somehow falls to the Ravens at number 30, I think that would be a wonderful proposition.
Should I pause after every pick here? Or do you want to just roll right in? So now we've got the Bucs at number 26. They are making their selection, and the pick is in, and it's Brian Thomas Jr. So there's a guy that the Ravens could have taken. And maybe it would have been worth a trade up to number 26, Jonas. Would you have tried to, should we have tried to hop up to the Cardinals pick there?
Yeah, especially someone who's relatively, I mean, like Brian Thomas Jr. is a 99th percentile athlete, but
yeah,
not a whole lot of certainty that he's going to be able to win as easily at that next level as he did at LSU. Obviously playing on a just all-star team there with Malik Nabers and Jane Daniels. I think the bust potential for a guy with him is probably higher than it would be for a typical first-round pick, just because of him relying on those physical gifts. If he falls to the Ravens at number 30, it would be hard to imagine them passing on that. But I think at this point, considering how the board has fallen, I think it's fine just to stand pat and let us see what comes of these next three picks.
All right. Now the Cardinals are back on the clock at number 27, and they take Xavier Worthy. A.D. Mitchell goes 28th to the Buffalo Bills. Johnny Newton goes pick number 29 to the Detroit Lions, which puts us on the clock with the 30th overall pick. Jonas, shall I run through our options?
Let's do it.
All right, we got Cooper DeJean is still somehow here from Iowa, the cornerback. We've got Kool-Aid McKinstry, defensive back from Alabama, is here. Jackson Powers Johnson, interior offensive lineman from Oregon. And then the board gives us Troy Franklin, wide receiver from Oregon, Peyton Wilson, linebacker from North Carolina State. Ladd McConkey is still here from Georgia. Is there anybody that really, Jordan Morgan, tackle from Arizona, that you think the Ravens should take over Cooper DeJean? To me, it's between Cooper DeJean and Kool-Aid McKinstry here.
I think it's pretty clearly Cooper DeJean. This is, to me, just a replaying of the 2022 draft, where no one thought that Kyle Hamilton would fall to number 14. And there he was. And you didn't really, you might have thought twice about it because of that slow 40 time. But everything about the tape told you that he was going to be a good player. And turns out he was a great football player. And he is a great football player. And let's talk about the virtues of Cooper DeJean. He comes from an Iowa program that the Ravens love. Obviously, Tyler Linderbaum, Geno Stone, Marshall Yanda, they have put a lot of faith in what Kirk Ferentz has taught those guys, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You have the return value, which I think would make John Harbaugh just starry-eyed, the possibility of a guy with his return ability being back there, either on punts or kickoffs. Did you, Paul, see the clip of him bringing back a punt return for a touchdown that got called back in, like, I think a game against Illinois this past season?
Yes.
It was just an incredible return.
Yeah,
from Cooper DeJean, like in the most clutch moment possible, but they ruled that he stepped out of bounds. So it was just a total letdown that got disallowed. But you have that, you have the functionality of him. Even if he doesn't work out as a outside cornerback, you just throw him in there in the slot, or maybe you cross train him as a slot back slash nickelback slash safety. I just think that having a troika of Cooper DeJean, Kyle Hamilton, Marcus Williams would be incredible. And it would give you so much functionality, so much flexibility. It would be like Christmas morning for Zach Orr, I think, if Cooper DeJean somehow fell to pick 30.
I do think you have to have a specific plan for him. And because I don't think he's going to fit any one specific role. I don't think it's going to be safety all the time. I don't think it's going to be slot corner all the time. I think he can serve a variety of roles in a similar way to Kyle Hamilton. He's a different kind of athlete than Kyle Hamilton. But look, if this were Mike McDonald, who has obviously shown over the last 2 years that he is an outstanding defensive coordinator, I would feel excellent about this pick. I'd say this guy is going to turn into an all-pro. I don't know where, but he's going to fit into this defense somehow. I just haven't seen it yet from Zach Orr. That doesn't mean he won't turn out to be a great defensive coordinator. He's just taking Mike McDonald's and the Ravens scheme here and using it. I would hope that if the Ravens take Cooper DeJean here at 30, that they would have a very specific idea and plan for him. But I have to trust the coaches. If I'm Eric DaCosta, I'm taking the best talent available, and it's Cooper DeJean. And I'm saying, look, we gave this job to the young Zach Orr for a reason. We believe in his ability to scheme up a defense. And if we're taking somebody with a first round pick, we better have a designed plan for him. And somebody's got to maximize his skill set. Whoever takes Cooper DeJean has the chance to develop him, but they have to be patient, and they also have to have a good idea of how they're going to use him. Let's take Cooper DeJean at number 30 overall.
Let me just make the case against some of the guys quickly. Khalid McKinstry, I think he's going to be a high floor guy, maybe not a high ceiling guy. There's some worries about that Jones fracture, or the Jones, the foot injury that he's dealing with. He's supposed to be ready for training camp, but again, that's a small red flag. Jackson Powers Johnson could be in a Pro Bowl center, but the Ravens already have a Pro Bowl center. Maybe he's a Pro Bowl guard. We just don't know that yet. Darius Robinson, not a super high ceiling. Jordan Morgan, I think if it comes down at some point on Thursday to Jordan Morgan versus Tyler Guyton, my thing is, you see on tape Jordan Morgan struggling with guys converting speed to power and just knocking him back. And when I thought about it, so many teams defend Lamar Jackson with those kind of mush rushes where you are just trying to collapse the pocket on him. You're not necessarily trying to turn the corner because you open up those scramble lanes. So I would rather have a guy who is stronger at the point of attack than someone like Jordan Morgan, who could be stronger next year as he kind of comes back from that ACL. But if you are giving up, you know, bull rushes the same way that Brian Stanley did this past year, then you're basically saying, we have a weakness up front, and it's the way that teams want to attack us. So Jordan Morgan could be a fantastic guard. I think I saw a comp to Sam Cosmi, who was a tackle coming out of Texas, who was like 6'7", but didn't have great arm length, which is the same problem that Jordan Morgan's facing. The Commanders kicked him inside, and he's been a terrific, terrific guard for them. But again, a terrific guard. The Ravens need a tackle at some point. So that's kind of what I'm looking at.
Yeah. All right. Well, Khalid McKinstry went off the board at number 31 overall, according to this mock, to the 49ers. Now the Chiefs are on the clock at 32. The next Ravens pick, of course, is 62, which is near the end of the second round. And I think there might be a chance for a trade up here at some point, Jonas. Once we get into the middle of the second round, let's start keeping our eye out for a potential trade up. We're going to resume the draft with the Chiefs at number 32 overall. Darius Robinson goes off the board at 32. That's a guy that maybe if all of the Ravens' other options had been exhausted, I would say go ahead and trade up for him. Jordan Morgan goes off the board early in the second round. There goes Jackson Powers Johnson. There goes Ladd McConkey. Other guys that I think the Ravens will consider with their first round pick. Another wide receiver, Jalen Polk, goes 38th. Kingsley Suamatia, another offensive tackle that is considered a fringe first-round prospect, goes off the board at 40 to the Commanders. Xavier Leggett, Packers, take a wide receiver there. Max Melton, the defensive back, guy who has been flying up draft boards, goes 42nd overall. Jonathan Brooks, there's the first running back of the draft, goes 44th overall. Keon Coleman, 46th. So there's a wide receiver that maybe the Ravens could target. You've got Ennis Rakestraw, who goes 47th to the Giants. Roman Wilson goes off the board at 48th to the Jaguars. You've got Ricky Pearsall going off the board at 51 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going to pause it right here, Jonas, because we've got Mike Sanrasil, who we think might be a fringe first-round prospect as well, going 52nd overall to the LA Rams. We're at the 54th overall pick. The Ravens have the 62nd overall pick. As you scroll through your consensus big board, is there anybody you would consider trading up for at this point?
I wonder whether it would make sense to trade up for Patrick Paul. Only number 60 on the consensus big board. It was interesting that Daniel Jeremiah had him much, much lower on his list of the top 150 prospects, which went out yesterday. PFF has a really, really high rating for Patrick Paul. I think for Patrick Paul, who's a I believe, left tackle out of Houston. I think that was where he played. He's the ninth rated tackle on the board. He doesn't have the greatest foot speed, but I think he was really, really productive. And I guess just a matter of, you know, do you want to take maybe something of a sure bet there or wait for, I don't know. I mean, like, you know, now we're kind of getting into a little bit of a wait and see mode with guys like Karan Amagaji, the Yale tackle.
Yeah.
You know, Roger Rosengarten is already off the board. Blake Fisher is a little bit inconsistent, even though he's very athletically gifted. So it's just a matter of, you know, whether we want to kind of make Paul the guy or see what Waiton does for us.
I like Patrick Paul only because of his name. He's a little bit older as a prospect. He's 23, turned 23 in November. He's a big dude, 6'7" and 331 pounds. I wouldn't oppose a trade up here. Jonas, do you want to get crazy and try to trade up to pick 54? Obviously, you don't do trades in the division a whole lot, but the Browns are on the clock at 54. Should we make an offer here?
Yeah, and we've seen the Ravens be in business with the Browns before. You know, the Cleveland was that trade partner on the Andrew Voorhees deal last year. So I think Eric DaCosta at least has a cordial relationship with the front office there.
All right, so in order to get 54, we're obviously giving up 62. Would you do 130 as well? I don't want to give up 93 or 113. Would you give up pick number 130?
Start backwards. You know, we have the barometer.
Yeah. So 250 will not be accepted. 228 will not be accepted. 218 will not be accepted. 165 has a 46% chance of being accepted. So that would be pick number 62 and 165 for 54. Should we try this?
What about 165 and a sixth rounder next year?
Oh my gosh, you can actually do this. This is amazing. That is a 61% chance of getting accepted. Should we do it?
Yeah, and if they don't accept, okay, try it again.
Did not accept the trade.
Offer the trade again, Paul.
That worked. So that is a way around. That is an absolute workaround. All right. Well, we have traded up with a sixth round pick next year. Pick number, I don't even remember what we traded there, in order to get the 54th overall pick. So now we are on the clock. Jonas, do you want to get Patrick Paul here, or is there somebody else who might entice you?
Yeah, I think Paul is the guy again.
Paul is always the guy.
Nowhere close to the level of certainty for those first round picks that we were in the mix for.
I'm scrolling through right now and I'm not seeing Patrick Paul.
This is not good process.
This is terrible process.
I guess you have to scroll up in the draft, Paul. Are there takebacks in the NFL draft?
Has he already gone off the board? Did I miss this? Patrick Paul went 44th overall. We completely missed it, Jonas. We have traded up and the guy that we have traded up for went off the board 10 picks. All right, who are we taking here? Troy Franklin is on the board. Braden Fisk is on the board as a defensive lineman from Florida State. Chris Jenkins, defensive lineman from Michigan. Blake Corum, if we want to go with a running back in the second round, I know you'd be very much opposed to that. Edgerrin Cooper is a linebacker. Anybody, Marshawn Neyland, I really like. I don't know if I'd take him this early. Malachi Corley, wide receiver from Western Kentucky. Who do you want to draft?
I think Christian Haynes would be a good value pick right here. He's a number 56 on the consensus big board, guard out of UConn. Not the longest player, but it just seems like a plug and play round one or day one guy. A really, really impressive mover in space. So if the Ravens are moving to more of that zone scheme, then he can be the guy on the move. If they want to run more gap stuff, he has the strength to move people as a down blocker, as a double team guy, running duo, running gap, whatever. So I think even though we didn't maybe want to be here at 54 and not take a tackle, I think Christian Haynes would be a good guy to get.
Let's go with Christian Haynes from UConn. Let's draft him at 54th overall. And now, so far to this point in the draft, Jonas, we have addressed defensive back and we have addressed guard. We still don't have our tackle and we are without one pick because we have traded up to the 54th overall pick. this is not a banner draft here for Eric DaCosta, if I'm being honest.
We're not going to get good grades for this, but grades aren't predictive.
Yeah. So
you got Cooper DeJean at pick 30. What are we talking about? That at least gives us like a C, like a floor of a B.
We do. We got Cooper DeJean. We got Christian Haynes. Do we absolutely have to take a tackle with the next pick as we're getting into the 70s now with this mock draft simulator? Or probably. Wide receiver, I think is another option here.
If someone like Javon Baker is available in the fourth round, I think you would take him, but it's tough. There goes Blake Fisher at 77.
Blake Fisher, Jermaine Burton, wide receiver from Alabama, is off the board. Devontae Walker,
get rich.
Wide receiver Malachi Corley is off the board. So we're waiting until pick number 93 to make our next selection, and we're into the mid 80s now. Johnny Wilson, Florida State wide receiver, goes off the board. How about Michael Pratt, number 83 overall to the LA Rams? Maybe they get their quarterback of the future. Ray Davis, running back from Kentucky, goes off the board. Trey Benson, back-to-back running backs. Javon Baker, another wide receiver, goes off the board here, Jonas. We are awfully close to our pick here. I'm not going to trade up because we've already traded up once. Cooper Beebe goes off the board, which, again, I think he is going to be off the board a whole lot earlier than 91st overall, which is what they have. All right, so we are on the clock now. Spencer Rattler is considered the best available prospect here. I couldn't disagree more. Kyrie Jackson, cornerback from Oregon. Javon Solomon.
He's a big boy. Would kind of fit with what the Ravens want to do, pressing in press coverage. But obviously, let's scroll to the tackles and see.
Caden Wallace from Penn State.
Christian Jones is a good player. Yeah, so he's more in the fourth round range. He's 118. And so we are at 93. It's a little bit rich for me. So,
and we will have another pick in 20 selections. So we will have 113 as well.
Yeah. Javon Foster is another guy who could be on the board there for us in the fourth round. So I think we're probably not getting a lot of juice for our squeeze at tackle if we make the pick right here.
I'm scrolling over to wide receiver. We've got Jamari Thrash from Louisville. We've got Jacob Cowing from Arizona, who I really like, but is basically an inch smaller and 20 pounds lighter than Zay Flowers, and is basically Zay Flowers 2.0. Brendan Rice, I don't think he carries much other than his name value, a USC wide receiver. Any wide receivers you'd consider here?
Not loving it, Paul.
Ooh, I am really not loving our options here at the 93rd overall
think,
pick.
I think
running let's back?
No. Go to cornerback.
We've already taken our cornerback in the first round in Cooper DeJean.
That's true.
Kyrie Jackson. Right,
let's check the edge rushers.
For a team that already has Brandon Stevens and Marlon Humphrey, I don't think they need that much help at cornerback. Edge rushers. Braylon Trice is still on the board here from Washington. He would be my selection. I'm not sure if he falls this far in the draft. What do you think, Jonas? The rank according to PFF is 98. So,
yeah,
overall.
He's number 64 on the big board. And one of the low points of the Jordan Morgan film experience was watching him go up against Braylon Trice. So I think he's not super athletic, but he's just been very, very productive over his career at Washington. Obviously, that's why he is a third round guy. I think it's a fine selection considering everything else. There's also the option of Mo Kamara, who's I think probably a little bit underranked by PFF. Colorado State edge rusher, very short, but that kind of makes him tough to block. He's got a lot of juice. He's 106 on the consensus big board, so obviously considerably behind Braylon Trice, who I think is probably the most sensible pick, because the longer you wait, the harder it gets to find guys who are just athletic enough to be good edge rushers.
All right, let's go ahead and take Braylon Trice with the 93rd overall pick. Let's lock that in, which means at this point in the draft so far, and we're on the clock in another 20 picks, but we have Cooper DeJean going into our defensive backfield. We have Braylon Trice rushing from around the edge. And we took guard Christian Haynes from UConn with our second round pick. So we have addressed offensive line. We've addressed cornerback. We have addressed edge rusher. I won't lie. I'm not loving our haul so far, but we have more picks to be made here.
Cooper DeJean, Paul.
All right. We are back on the clock here at number 113.
Yeah, let's look at those tackles.
Let's look first at offensive tackles. Isaiah Adams, tackle from Illinois. Caden Wallace is still here, tackle from Penn State. Christian Jones, tackle from Texas that you mentioned last time. I think one of those three guys, honestly, Caden Wallace or Christian Jones, I would like here.
Christian Jones, I think, speaks to me. Okay. He played on a good...
What does he say? He says, take me here.
Take me. I'm not seeing Caden Wallace super high on... Yeah, he's 188 on the consensus big board, which is like 60 spots behind Christian Jones. So Christian Jones, 118, I think it's totally fine. I guess we could always like trade down if we feel like we could pick up another sixth round pick somewhere along the way. But I think he's going to be a solid player for the team. He's not going to be a day one starter, probably not even a year one starter. Maybe he takes a couple of years to get going. But I just think that considering the uncertainty with Fa'alele, you know, Patrick McCarry not really being an every game guy or an every snap guy, and then Ronnie Stanley's situation being what it is, I think Christian Jones is a nice, solid pick.
So we are going to take Christian Jones, tackle from Texas, with the 113th pick. So now we have our tackle. We've taken two offensive linemen and two defensive players. I think we got to address either offensive line again or wide receiver when we are on the clock again at 130. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, if there's someone at running back that we like, that would be...
That'd be palatable for you now?
Yeah, I mean, I think day three running back, like outside of the top 120 would be fine. You know, you're probably also estimated would have been a nice pick, I think, for the Ravens. He's someone who's been highly productive, but we'll see. Let's see who's out there.
I also want to just do a due diligence here on quarterback. Now we are back on the clock at 130. In terms of offensive lineman, Trevor Keegan, Michigan guard is still available. Ravens could take another guard. Let's check wide receivers. Isaiah Williams, Illinois wide receiver, Luke McCaffrey from Rice, Cornelius Jackson from Michigan, Jalen Coker from Holy Cross. Let's check on the quarterbacks. There's really a Jordan Travis is here. I think 130 would be a little rich. Fourth round. Yeah,
I'm not picking him before the fifth round.
Okay. And let's finally check on running backs as well. Will Shipley. I do like Will Shipley, Jonas. You know this. And I feel like he would be a nice complimentary back for Derrick Henry. There's no skill set overlap there. He can catch passes out of the backfield in addition to running between the tackles. I think he could be a nice fit next to Keaton Mitchell eventually. I would like Will Shipley here, but I also would be perfectly fine with Trevor Keegan if the Ravens take another guard here from Michigan. What do you think?
Just keep scrolling.
Cole Bishop, safety from Utah, I like. Muhammad Kamara is still here if we want another edge rusher. Caden Wallace, tackle from Penn State, is still here. Isaiah Williams. I'm going to go and say they should take Will Shipley, but I got to consult with my co-GM here.
How would you feel about Luke McCaffrey? Obviously, he's got the bloodlines, very athletic. I think he was like above the 90th percentile in the relative athletic score. So there is some chance for some growth. He's probably not going to be, you know, a day one sensation, but I think there is some growth potential there for him being a potential ball winner.
Okay. Luke McCaffrey, you've convinced me. I'm going to draft Luke McCaffrey with pick 130. Just to give people a little bit more of an idea of who he is, from Rice, weighs just shy of 200 pounds. He's 6'2".
Good size.
So we so far have addressed wide receiver. We've addressed edge rusher. We've addressed offensive line. And I'm going to try to speed this up a little bit because we are not on the clock until 2:18. And right now we're in the 150s. What is a position? Well, Shipley just went off the board. That's a massive miss for us, Jonas. Who is one guy that you think we absolutely have to have, or one position that we absolutely have to have before the end of the draft? I'm looking at backup quarterback. I'm looking at running back. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we've got to fulfill the DaCosta doctrine of going to get a running back at some point. That there are a lot of smaller guys who, you know, will probably be available there in the sixth round. I imagine all the guys that we would have liked will have been snatched up already. Like Dylan Johnson got injury history.
All right. Miles Murphy, defensive lineman from North Carolina. Joe Milton, quarterback, is still there from Tennessee. He's got a rocket arm, Jonas. Amani Bailey, TCU running back. Frank Gore Jr., Southern Miss running back. Not loving
these, Paul.
I would make the case now here, Jonas, for Joe Milton III. And you overruled me the last time. And I just want to remind you, we are co-GMs. And
when did I overrule you?
When I wanted Will Shipley in the last round. And now look it's at fine. The running back talent that is like, left. Just a reminder.
The problem is, just the problem in general with taking a developmental backup quarterback is the way teams are designed to kind of operate during the season, you aren't getting a lot of reps for those backup guys. You know, he might not be the scout team quarterback because he's not necessarily a super mobile guy. Maybe he's not even the scout team quarterback any week. And then what kind of practice time are you left with to actually get this guy up to speed? I mean, we all know about the rocket arm. We all know about the success and kind of a gimmicky Mickey Mouse offense there at Tennessee. So if you aren't actually putting him in a system where he can develop and get better, you're kind of left holding the bag there. But it's a 1% arm. It's fine at this point.
But what would be your alternative? Just try to sign one of the last remaining veterans off the street, like Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah.
Because then you make the case for
Lamar is fine.
That's a terrible plan. They've done that before, Jonas. It has failed.
They almost beat the Bengals a couple years ago with
almost. They lost. They lost the game because of their backup quarterback fumbling at the goal line, Jonas.
Okay. I don't think Joe Milton at any point is close to being as ready for primetime as our guy Tyler Huntley was.
Talking about a sixth round pick. How many of these guys are going to be ready for the primetime at all? How many of these guys are going to make the team?
Just picked
probably not many. I finally wore him down. Joe Milton goes off the board with our sixth round pick at 218. Jonas's desire to get out of here outweighed his desire to win that argument. 228. We are back on the clock here, Jonas. Really doesn't matter. It's round seven. Who do you want to take here? Should we go wide or should we go running back? Because we haven't taken a single running. Frank Gore Jr., why not? Right?
Yeah, he's 246 on the consensus big board. It could make sense. Not a whole lot of love for these guys right here.
It's almost like we should have taken Will Shipley in the fourth round, Jonas.
Okay. I guess just you know, the Ravens took the Ravens signed Odell last year partly as a publicity play because they knew that OBJ would move merchandise. And doesn't Frank Gore do the same thing for you?
It would be a fun training camp story, right? Wouldn't that be a fun thing Frank Gore shows up at training camp in Owens Mills to watch his son?
In my early years on the beat, they signed Joe Horn Jr., who didn't do anything, but it was a fun story while I was here.
Exactly. Maybe they play into that. We have one final pick at 250, by the way.
See, we could have had Devin Leary here.
Devin Leary cannot play the game of football. I'm going on the record and saying he
is. Have you seen Joe Milton try to throw like a 15-yard dig? It is not.
Have you seen him throw a 70-yard deep ball? I rest my case. We are not going to take quarterback again. We're not going to take running back. Wide receiver, there are three players left. David White Jr., Zachary Franklin, and Hayden Hatton. Kicker. It's a shame because there are actually a couple quarterbacks here that are not terrible, but we've already taken.
Oh, Delmar Glaze. He's not going to make it. He's not going to make
Maryland.
It the seventh round. This is another one of those guys where I think just criminally underranked by PFF. Most mocks have him going fourth or fifth round. He's a guy who played tackle at Maryland, was a solid tackle for Maryland. It might not have the athletic profile or the length to stick at tackle, but maybe he turns into a Patrick McCarr type where he can play tackle or guard. Maybe you throw him in there at center for a pinch. But I think it's to get a guy like Glaze in the seventh round would be tremendous value. I just don't think it's going to happen in real life.
All right, here is our completed mock draft, Jonas. All seven rounds. What a disaster of a draft we had there. Do you think any teams actually come out of the draft bickering like we just did for the final three rounds of the draft? Hopefully not. I think that's a sign of dysfunction.
Wait. Here's my counterpoint. The mark of a good draft is, you know, according to Dan Jeremiah, did you get three starters? I think Cooper DeJean, you can pencil in as a starter. Christian Haynes, I think you can pretty much pencil in as an eventual starter. He might not be good enough to, you know, unseat Ben Cleveland year one, but I think he could be there, you know, nip and tuck with Voorhees, with Sala, with whoever else is competing at that left guard spot. So do you get another starter from one of those guys that we have here? Christian Jones, PFF doesn't like him, but I think him being an early day three guy is totally fine. Luke McCaffrey, a bit of a potential play just because of him being so new to the position and him being athletically gifted as he is. Maybe he turns into just randomly a really good X receiver. You know, he's got the size, he's got the speed, he's a great contested catch guy. Obviously, Joe Milton is not going to be anything than a QB2.
Absolutely love it. Terrific pick. Outstanding value.
E-minus grade, but an A-plus arm. And then Frank Gore, you just hope that he's athletic enough to help on special teams, because I think, you know, guys who fall this late in the draft are either not very productive or don't have great vision or injury history or just aren't athletic enough. And I think if you're taking like a linebacker or running back or a safety this late, they have to be able to contribute on special teams. And, you know, Tyler Bedee, when the Ravens drafted him a couple of years ago out of Missouri, couldn't hack it as a special teamer, so he didn't have a spot on the team. I think if you are waiting this long to take a running back, you have to hope that he brings value in another phase of the game.
And Delmar Glaze is our final pick at 250. Jonas, we've got work to do. We have to get to the undrafted free agents. We've got some agents to call and some deals to negotiate. That completes our seven-round mock draft. We will have complete coverage of the actual real Ravens draft, beginning with pick number 30 overall. We will be live at the Castle starting Thursday night around pick 25 is when we're going to go live. We'll take you up to the Ravens number 30 overall pick. And then we will listen to what Eric DaCosta and maybe John Harbaugh have to say. And then we will go live once again to give you our thoughts on number 30 overall. Thanks so much for tuning in. Please like, rate, review, subscribe, give us a thumbs up anywhere that you are listening to the Banner Ravens podcast. Write us a good review. I'll read it out here on the podcast if you do so. Thanks so much for tuning in. For Jonas Schaefer, I'm Paul Mancano. We will see you Thursday.